Hello, and welcome to the Self-Sufficient Hub podcast. I'm Carl from selfsufficienthub.com, and I'm here to talk about all things self-sufficiency. Sustainability and food security matters. Hello everyone, and welcome to episode 110 of the Self-Sufficient Hub podcast. I hope you're all safe and well. Today on the show, we're going to be talking about autumnal jobs in the garden, all the things that we can and should be doing in October to not waste this time of year and to sort of make sure that we're all up together going into the winter. And whenever I make an episode like this, which I do periodically every month or so, I'm acutely aware of our southern hemispheric listeners and how we are completely out of step with you guys down there. And it just occurred to me that now we've been producing the show for a little while, that while obviously I really appreciate your listening and hope that you will listen to this episode as well, it might be a time to just remind people that we've been going for over 6 months now, so there will be some sort of relevant episodes for things to do in the spring. And they will be in our back catalogue, of course. So if you are listening down under or somewhere in the Southern Hemisphere, then there might well be an episode of spring tips and things that we should be doing in the spring that would be relevant for you to go and check out now. Anyway, I just wanted to mention that, that's all, before we get into the meat of today's episode. Now, at this time of year, we are, at least in England, I mean, we have such variable weather here in England that in October we could easily be having some really nice sunny weather and the temperature could be maybe even 17 or 18 degrees on some days. It's not at the moment. But equally, we could be having frosts and persistent rain and anywhere in between. So a lot of what we are doing at this time of the year is really going to change from year to year based on what the weather's doing, what the season is like at the moment. What we've got here in the southern UK, where I am, is some mild, on and off wet weather, but it is at least looking frost-free for at least another 2 weeks. I don't really look beyond 2 weeks because the confidence with which the weather can be predicted that far out is so small that I only tend to set my horizon at around 2 weeks' time. But it's good news for all of our long season plants. So I'm not looking to pull out any of our butternut squash for another 2 weeks or anything else that we might consider to be done when the frost comes. Some of our beans are still producing. I'm just going to leave all them be for another 2 weeks. But at this time of year, we are looking at taking out some of those summer plants that are kind of at their end of life. And if there were frosts on the horizon, or if I needed the space, then I would certainly be looking at removing those plants. We've taken out all of our tomato plants now because they'd all basically succumbed to blight or weather or just end of life. And we have a lot of beans and squash and pumpkin plants that we will take out if and when we either need the space or they come to the end of their productive cycle, which is going to be imminent. So that's one thing that we're going to be looking at doing fairly soon, is just removing anything that is finished in the garden and composting or otherwise utilizing those plants. If you're growing runner beans, then I'm going to recommend that you actually try and overwinter them and create yourself some nice perennial runner beans. I've done an episode with Liz Zorab, which you might want to go and check out, where we talked at quite some depth about how to do that. But the short version is, when your runner beans come to the end of their season, rather than ripping up the whole plant, just cut them about 4 or 6 inches above the surface and then heavily mulch them, and they should come back next year. That's certainly what we're going to be doing. But there's lots of other plants that you can be overwintering. But before I get into the things that you're going to be putting in, if you haven't already, I just want to mention something else that we should all be doing at this time of year, and that is to take a little bit of a step back and just assess our season and have a little think about what's gone well and what hasn't, but also to record it. Now, something that I'm a huge advocate of is keeping records, and I'm going to, in the next few weeks when I get chance, I'm going to really assess the season, and I'm going to be making some records of what's done well, what's done poorly, the sort of weather that we've had this year, a really broad strokes picture of what the season has been like and what's worked and what hasn't, and what I think might be the causes for that, and how I might either change what we're going to grow next year based on that assessment, or change how we're growing some of the things based on that assessment. But now is the time to do that, because with the best will in the world, and as much as we might think we'll be capable, it's not something that you're going to be able to do in the spring with such a clear idea of what actually has and hasn't worked. When you look at your beds now and you see the things that, you know, are still clinging on there, but they haven't really done very well all season, you know, you're not going to have that visceral reaction to your individual crops in the spring when some time has passed. So it's definitely worth recording your successes and failures now. And equally, when it comes to recording, it might be worth taking a look back at your records from last year and just seeing if there's anything that you could or couldn't have learnt, and making sure that we kind of emphasise those notes again going forward. Because something a lot of us do is we make notes and then we never actually refer back to them. So now would definitely be a time to spend a minute on note-taking, assessing and checking our notes from before. It's really easy for you to get in touch with us. You can do it either by sending an email to selfsufficientcontact@gmail.com or by using the link in the show notes to send us a voice message. You can send us a voice message just using your phone. You could also reach out to us on Facebook, where we have the Self Sufficient Hub group and the Self Sufficient Hub page. We're always thrilled to get your feedback, questions or suggestions for future topics on the show. Now, just because it's the end of our peak growing season, that doesn't mean we shouldn't be planting things. There's lots of things that we can be planting or thinking about planting right now. So we've got some cabbage and broccoli that we've recently put in. And I think I'm writing saying that I planted some cauliflower just last week. I direct sowed some cauliflower into the ground just last week. Also, radishes are a great crop to put in now. If you are someone or your household doesn't really enjoy radishes because they're too fiery, they're too hot, you don't really enjoy them, then now's the time to plant them, because a lot of that heat comes from the actual sunshine and the hot weather. If you get them in now for a quick crop at the end of the season, they're going to have a much milder flavour. And of course, we have our favourites for overwintering, things like onions, garlic, broad beans. These are all things that we can either be putting in now or be thinking of putting in when we've got the space. Now, here at the homestead, I'm actually going to be doing an oddments episode on Friday, where I'll be bringing you right up to date with where we are here, because we've had such a busy period over the last few weeks. But we have already put in our first round of broad beans to overwinter, and some of our garlic. We've got some more garlic to go in for sure. But if you're going to be planting small onion bulbs to grow, bulbils to grow into bigger onions, or if you're going to be planting Egyptian walking onions or something like that, now's a great time to get them in for overwintering. So make sure that you've put a little bit of thought into it, because you could easily miss this window. So many people don't think of planting at this time of year, and they kind of miss a trick. And then when the spring comes and they get to sowing, there's such a long wait between sowing and cropping, and you could fill some of that gap by overwintering, getting those plants in now. Now, the space that you're going to make by clearing some of your summer plants, perhaps you've got outside tomatoes, this is space that you're going to want to do your best to try and fill now. You might even be able to find some lettuce varieties that you can still get in. Perhaps you'll want to cloche those, but there's no end of things you can still be getting in, and it's really about varieties now. So we try and grow three or four different varieties of things like cabbages, so there's almost not a period when we're, well, there's not a period when we're not cropping cabbage, but there's almost not a period when we're not sowing cabbage. We won't be sowing cabbages in December and January and February, but that's about it, really. There's also leeks that can be going in, and it really pays to spend a little bit of time thinking and planning and getting your seeds ready so that you can be sowing things right through until you get your frosts. The other thing we're going to be doing with our vegetable beds at this time of year is to mulch them and top dress them with compost or whatever it is that you're using, whatever your system might be. Now is a great time to add that layer of compost, mulch or wood chip, whatever you're using, to again protect the plants that you're overwintering, but also add those nutrients ready to be broken down, ready to be available in the spring. There's all sorts of choice. You know that I'm personally an advocate of no-dig gardening, so we're going to be just using compost that we make here, and we're going to be adding as much as we can, really, but realistically about 3 or 4 inches to our whole bed. And now is also a good time to create your no-dig beds. So if you're extending a no-dig bed or creating a new no-dig bed, now's the time to start creating one just by putting down some cardboard to kill off your weeds or grass or whatever it is that you might be creating your no-dig bed instead of. And then again, top dressing that, adding your compost, your wood chip, whatever it is you're going to be using, getting that nice thick layer of mulch on top of that cardboard. That cardboard's going to break down through the winter, and you're going to be able to just plant down straight through that in the spring. So get all of your preparation work done now while we've got a bit of downtime. Of course, we're still harvesting as well. So it's, as I said right at the outset of the episode, the climate is so variable, at least here in the UK, and probably a lot of places around this time of year, as we're moving, you know, away from summer. The summer's definitely been and gone, but we're not quite in the bite of winter yet. And it's going to be so variable for each of us when we need to do these things. But when you get up in the morning and you look outside and you kind of know that your harvesting has really all but dried up. Now, of course, you've got your things like kales and chards, which you're going to be able to harvest right through. But all of our beans and possibly a lot of our root vegetables, we're going to be at a point where we've already harvested everything and we're ready to then dress our beds and make our beds ready for the following year. You know, we all know when that time has come. The bean plants are one of the biggest indicators here for us. Beans and peas done, then we know that really we're looking at winter prep and going into next year. You can now support the show directly. Just go to patreon.com/selfsufficienthub. You can become a patron and set up to donate to the show from any amount. Pledging as little as $3 a month makes a huge difference. If that's not your thing, you can also support the show by sharing it with people you know or posting about it on social media. We really appreciate all the help that you give us. It's people like you that make this show possible. Something that's really important at this time of year as well is to make sure that everything has a really good weed. We have got quite a lot of thistles and groundsel and things like that that have probably got flower heads if you've got them growing in your beds. It's really important to get them out now before they start setting seeds. The last thing you're going to want is to have your beautiful mulched beds all ready for next year, and then underneath that lovely compost and mulch that you've put there, giving that soil loads of nutrients, just underneath that layer, a load of seeds of weeds that have set because we didn't weed early enough. So do try and make sure that you've got all of your weeds under control and get that done as soon as possible, really. If you're not one of the people that I envy that are always on top of it, you look at some gardens and people have just got immaculate husbandry around their plants with no weeds ever, and I envy these people, but I don't know how they do it. And we certainly make sure that at this time of year, and followers of my YouTube channel will know this, you know, I'm trying to work my way through my vegetable bed and make sure that it's all immaculate. But at the moment, it's something I'm really struggling to find time for. But as the summer season closes out and we're doing less and less of that type of work, then I'm finding slightly more time in the evenings, albeit fighting against the daylight hours, to prepare those beds. And part of that is making sure that we are weeding as much as we possibly can and getting everything nice and clear. Again, if you're pulling all those weeds and you're thinking about seeds, you're going to need to give some thought to how you're composting. If you're hot composting, then you should be okay because the heat should kill off those seeds. But if you're not hot composting, then you might want to put those seeds in a separate compost bin that you're going to allow to break down over a longer period of time, or even bag them and leave them in bags to break down. But once you've got all your weeding done and your vegetable beds prepared, then really, you are all set for the winter. You can either have your overwintering plants in there with cloches or not, depending on what they are, and just go to bed and sleep soundly, knowing that you're all ahead. The other thing that now is a great time to do is any hedge trimming that you might have left. The reason being, all of our hedges have stopped growing. Where we live, we've got several different types of hedging, and we tend to cut our hedges twice a year, a proper cut. Now, of course, we use it for goat food, and if you've got goats or other animals that'll eat it, then that's fantastic. But even if you haven't, just for the sake of keeping things under control and tidy, now is the time when your hedges have stopped growing, so you know you can cut them once now and they won't need cutting again this year. So we tend to do them once late spring, early summer, and then once again right at the end of summer. Now that's for two reasons. First of which is because we love to encourage as much growth as we can with that early cut, but also we want that early growth to feed to our goats, and then also we get a second cut to feed to our goats. But secondly, there's just so much growth if you leave it and just cut them once a year, particularly with some really well-established beech hedging that we have, then it just makes that second cut, if you're going to do that as a solo cut, if you like, once a year, then it just makes that cut a little bit more work because everything's that little bit thicker and stronger. So things that you might have got through easily enough with your hedge trimmer, you're looking at doing with a chainsaw. So we do try and do it twice a year here. But we are almost through that. So after our hedges are trimmed, our beds are all set, the next thing we think about is our animal husbandry. Now, if you've got chickens, then likely you've got some nice ventilation for them in their houses so that when they are all cooped up in there in the warmth of the summer, you can have some nice airflow for them. But you might want to think about shutting down some of that ventilation as you go into the winter. Now, it's certainly not an urgent job to do now, but if you get particularly cold winters and you have days that possibly don't get above freezing and nights that get significantly below freezing, then shutting down that ventilation is something that you can have on your to-do list to do at any point from now onwards, really. Also, if you've got a breeding program, or if you're allowing your hens to kind of breed ad hoc, just as and when they feel like going broody and sitting, then it's also something that you might want to think about, you know, because it's going to be a little bit harder for young chicks to get through the colder parts of the winter. So from now on, we're not going to stop our hens sitting on eggs just yet, but certainly in the next few weeks we might do so. We might make a bit more of a concerted effort to remove any eggs that are being accumulated and sat on by our hens, because we don't necessarily want to have to go through the stress of having some really young chicks out there when we've got the depths of the cold coming. So those are all of our October jobs that put us nice and ahead going into the winter. You can find Self-Sufficient Hub content elsewhere online in lots of other places. We have a YouTube channel. We also have our website, and now there's our Facebook page and Facebook group. Links to all of these you can find in the show notes. Come check us out. Okay, so the last segment today is just going to be some housekeeping, really. A few points of order that I wanted to raise with you guys. You may have noticed the last couple of episodes have been released a few hours later than usual. I don't know if that trickles its way through to you in any meaningful fashion, but those of you who eagerly anticipate the dropping of the podcast may have noticed it. And I just wanted to reassure everyone that that is a temporary blip based on workload, basically. I've been struggling a little bit to keep up with everything that's on my plate, and regular viewers of my YouTube channel will have noticed how much I've had on for the last couple of weeks, but things do seem to be settling down a little bit now. So I can assure you that there is no imminent danger of the podcast becoming unreliable. It's still going to be dropping every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. I have also suffered with a few recording issues over the last two or three episodes, and that's what's led to, if you've noticed it, some of the reduced audio quality. Now, again, hopefully these are issues that are for the most part behind me, but there's been lots of little things that have kind of forced it. I've had to do a couple of recordings on the way to work, sat in a car. I've had to do a couple of recordings when our Wi-Fi has dropped out midway through. It's just been a little bit of a catalogue of errors, really, but hopefully it hasn't diminished your enjoyment of the show. And I do, you know, appreciate everybody paying attention and tuning in and, you know, offering their support. I really appreciate every single one of you who takes the time to listen to the show. And I genuinely mean that. You know, it means so much to me that there is an audience here that is interested in what I have to say. So thank you so much for listening. And I apologize if the quality of that listening has been negatively affected over the last week or so with a couple of the episodes, and assure you that it is a temporary blip. With that in mind, you may also have noticed that today's episode is not an interview, and on Wednesdays we usually have an interview. Well, again, I've been struggling to kind of schedule times when I can achieve these things. So I do have lots of interviews lined up and lots of things in the pipeline to bring to the show, but it's just not something that's been easy for me to organize for this week. I would love a little bit of feedback. If you could just get in touch and let me know your thoughts on the general format of the show, and whether you like it just how it is, whether it's important to you that Wednesdays are for interviews, or whether I, you know, whether it's not important to you guys at all, the format and how things come out on Mondays, Wednesdays and Fridays. Because at the moment, you know, I try to have a series that I do on Mondays, and then Wednesdays are the interviews, and then Fridays are the more sort of random areas of discussion and the oddments episodes and the chance for me to catch you up with what I'm doing and, you know, some one-off kind of stuff. But if you are far less, you know, I tell you what would be great to hear if you guys didn't even notice. You know, I'd love to have an email from someone saying, you know, I've listened to the show for 2 months and I hadn't even noticed that there was a format to the show. And I'd also love to hear it if, you know, if you've been listening since forever and it's very important to you that, you know, Wednesdays are the interview days and Mondays are the series. Just your thoughts, really. You know, if you could let me know, I would genuinely appreciate it. As always, I can be contacted at the email address, which is selfsufficientcontact@gmail.com. Not selfsufficienthub@gmail.com. I'm very surprised to say that someone had actually already nabbed that one. But yeah, selfsufficientcontact@gmail.com. Alternatively, you can contact me on Facebook. And a couple of last little points. Obviously, you all know that we have a Patreon and there's lots of different ways that you can support the show. But I wanted to just say one of the very, very best ways that you can support the show is to share it on social media, share it with a friend. The hardest thing to do when you are just a one-man band like I am is to actually get heard. And there are so many podcasts out there now that are backed by lots of money and big organizations, and some of them are fantastic, some of them really are, but it's it makes it increasingly difficult for someone with a budget of zero to really get heard. So anything you can do to introduce this show to someone who might otherwise not have heard it is massively appreciated by me. And as I say, it's one of the very, very best things that any of you could do. So any of you who take the time to do that, I genuinely, genuinely appreciate it. With that, you can probably hear my dogs in the background because that means my family has just arrived home. So I'm going to wrap this recording up. Wish you all well, and I will speak to you on Friday with an Oddments episode. If you find this podcast valuable, there's several ways you can support it. The easiest of which is to rate and review it wherever you get your podcasts. You could also talk about it or share it wherever you post online, including your social media pages. And now you can support the podcast directly by becoming a patron at patreon.com/selfsufficienthub. However you support the podcast, we really appreciate it. Thank you for listening. See you soon.